Now it's time for Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party.
Tracy is back to work now after a brief break where she stayed at home. Parliament doesn't start up until the week of the 29th of Jan, but we had a little chat to see what she needs to do before then.
The 100 days ends on the 3rd of February, so we need to pass things through Cabinet so that we can announce the closing off of we've completed the 100-day, the 100-day program. By the 3rd of February, so that means that, so that's all done. So I guess that's why we're here. We've got lots of bits and pieces that we have to pull together in the last sort of few days to make sure those cabinet papers are all organised.
And is the government on track for that?
Yeah, well, I am. I'm on track for my bit, so there you go.
So what is it that you have to do? What are your priorities?
Well, first of all, I've got the draft cabinet paper for the inquiry into historical abuse of individuals in state care. So that's just doing the rounds of the ministerial group that, because I led the ministerial group on that development. So it's just getting their final comments, and then that will be filed, go through CBC, which is the Cabinet Business Committee, next week, and then onto the cabinet paper for my cabinet colleagues to approve or not approve the draft terms that we've worked out. And then there's child wellbeing legislation that we're putting in there. That's around the poverty reduction targets and things like that. So I'm part of working on that with the Prime Minister and advisers. So those are probably the biggies that are happening.
Was there something earlier this month about you changing the positive ageing strategy?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a larger piece of work, really, I suppose. So that's one of my targets for this year, is the positive ageing strategy ran out in 2010 and nobody's gone and renewed it. So I believe it needs to be renewed, particularly as we're looking at a tidal wave of older citizens that are going to be part of New Zealand society. So this year I want the ministry, well, it's actually just the Office of Seniors, to go out with me and consult around the country and hold little workshops so that we can get a variety of New Zealanders' views about how their communities need to be and how the support systems need to be to help people to age positively, which means being able to stay in work if they want to or they need to, being able to not become isolated in their own homes. How can we, that if they want to stay in their own homes, how can we better support them to do that, make sure that their communities are accessible, all that sort of thing.
And will it be about implementing a new strategy?
It'll be about making sure that we update it to cover what is, because, I think a lot of this new positive aging strategy will focus on the digital environment, because there's been quite a leap since 2010. And how accessible is that for our seniors? People make a lot of assumptions. They make, on one side they make assumptions that none of them can use a digital device at all. And then on another side you've got those that think, oh, well, everybody who's now 55 has owned a smartphone, so we don't need to actually worry about whether they are digitally literate or not. So you've got sort of two extremes going on. And we need to have that conversation about how accessible are all these government departments and businesses and banks that are just going 100% digital.
You said it was over 25% of people, or is it 25% of people over 65 are still in work?
Yeah, 25% of people over the age of 65 are still in work. Now, that could be a good thing, but it depends why they are. So are they there because they just don't want to stop working because they're active and involved and so on and so forth, or is it because they're desperate for an income? So, that's what we need to try and find out about that 25%. But what we know is we've got a skill shortage. We hear constantly business saying that we've got skill shortages that we need to import people into. That demographic, which is going to get bigger, actually has a whole lot of skills in it. So how can we work with Business New Zealand and other industries to keep our older citizens in employment if they want to be in employment, even if that's on a part-time basis, to keep those skills in the workforce while we buddy them up with younger New Zealanders and start to transition those skills across?
There was a report of you saying that there doesn't need to be a review by the ERO for the way that special needs children are treated in schools. Why is that?
Well, first of all, ERO did a review in 2004, and the Education and Science Select Committee did an inquiry only last year that was initiated by Catherine Delahunty and supported by Chris Hipkins and myself. And, you know, came out with, I think there were 25 recommendations in the main report and then another 24 recommendations by Catherine and Chris and I. So we know the system's broken. We know it's broken. And another review will merely just delay doing something about it. So you know, I don't have any powers over ERO. It was announced just prior to Christmas. It was a surprise to me. And I just made a comment on my video blog that I don't know why they've decided they need to do another review, but I'm not, as the Associate Minister of Education with responsibility for special needs, I'm not waiting for their review before I start work on fixing the system.
So you already know there is a problem?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the parents and the, you know, the students and the parents have been telling us for years there's a problem. They've also been giving us their solutions. so that's what I'm going to be doing. That's what I'm going to be doing this year is putting down and trying to make a plan to actually make positive change.
So these video blogs are proving very informative. Can I ask why you started doing them?
Two reasons, really. When I realised that, just like myself, when I got into Parliament, I'd never even visited Parliament, yeah? And I came here from being a stay-at-home mum for 15 years. So I had no idea how this place worked. I had no idea really how laws were made. I had no idea how to influence it or anything like that. So I figured, well, if I don't know, then there must be a whole lot of other people out there that don't know. So that was the first thing. Secondly, I had the New Zealand First membership was to put it out there so that those that had, supported us and done the hard yards to get me into this place could see what I was doing on their behalf. So those were the two reasons. It was originally just aimed at New Zealand First members to try and let them know what we were doing on a daily basis, what the job was, and also then to try and explain parts of the system that you wouldn't know, and explain it in plain English. You know, lots of people will tell you it, but sometimes they use a whole lot of bureaucratic speak and you still don't know what they've said.
Very true. Finally, and I'll leave you to it for the day or for the week.
Thank you.
Do you have with the inquiry into state child abuse, do you have a date?
I can say I will put my money on the fact that my goal is to actually be able to have an announcement before the 3rd of February. Okay, and the announcement that I'm hoping to be able to make is the terms of reference, the scope of the inquiry, and hopefully the chair. That's sort of a draft scope because what we're hoping to do is actually have the chair go out and consult a bit wider, so that before the scope is actually set in stone. So the goal is for me to get the cabinet paper to the first cabinet meeting back, and then as soon as it gets passed through cabinet, we can make the announcement. And anything, I couldn't say anything other than that because that would be breaching, my cabinet responsibilities.
All good. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
we'll talk to you next week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. Bye.
That was Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party. The Wire.